Are we teaching our children? Are we taking the responsibility that as God gives me a baby boy or a baby girl until 18 years of age, that I have the responsibility not only to provide for the child's needs, but also to provide for him spiritual insight and religion in the home? That is God's word.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today, Raul will continue our focus on cultivating genuine faith and godly habits in the home, challenging you to take an honest look at what you're doing to guide your children into a personal relationship with the Lord. He'll show you that you play a crucial role in your children's spiritual journey. Stay with us for encouragement to model a strong and healthy walk with God. Today's lesson comes from Judges chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. Here's Raul Reese with our study, Parents' Duty to Children.
This morning, we want to concentrate by looking at the Word of God, and we want to look at the responsibility now that the parents have to their children. That's a real heavy one. And the reason I say that is because in the book of Judges, when you come to chapter 2, beginning with verse 10, the first generation of the people of God, those that had come out of Egypt, already had not only crossed the Red Sea and had wandered in the wilderness for 38 years and finally came to the end of their destination. Only those that were 20 years old and under with Joshua and Caleb, which were now the second generation, were able to go into the promised land as God had promised. When they went into the promised land is not heaven, but it was actually a life of victory. They fought their battles against their enemy, and God gave them the victory. In chapter 24 of the book of Joshua, by the time Joshua now is old and getting ready to die, he knows that his days are short. He gathers together all of the people with his family, and he gives not a sermon, but he gives actually an exhortation. And he says, "For me and my house, we have decided that we are going to follow the Lord." And then he says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Those are very important statements that Joshua made in the book of Joshua chapter 24. The reason I say that is because many times parents do not want to take the responsibility for their children. Many parents would love to blame the church and the nursery and the Sunday school department the way their kids turned out to be when they grew up into adulthood. But in the Bible, God never said that the church was to teach the children and bringing them up in the ways of the Lord. The responsibility was given to you that are parents. You are the one that has a great responsibility the way your children are going to turn out in the future to come. I believe, because of what the Bible teaches, that we are living in a very godless generation. You look around and you can see the activity of drugs, the activity of drinking, the activity of sex, and the activity of rebellion and gang warfare. Not only is our government pretty messed up, but it seems like the whole world is going wacko, man. It's just going out of tune. But we know that God told us that in the last days, these days would come. Those days are here. I believe that what the book of Judges says, because the book of Judges has actually seven cycles to the book. When you read it, it goes into seven cycles where you begin, it comes back to it. It says that everybody did what was right in their own eyes. It is really the philosophy of today. I'm going to do my own thing. And it seems that that philosophy has really affected the home. It has affected husband and wife. It has affected those that are single parents. And those of you that are not married, you're young right now, listen very carefully, because one day you will be a parent. And usually what happens is that the scripture in the book of Judges chapter 2 verse 10 says, "And then also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers." What generation? The second generation, Caleb and Joshua. And then these tragic words come. "And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which the Lord had done for Israel." The parents in the second generation failed to teach their children the things of God. I believe we are here in that generation. You see, God expects the parents to take not only the leadership of their homes, but God expects to bring your home into order, godly order. For God is not the author of confusion. You can't blame your wife or your husband or your children, and especially you cannot blame God or the church. The responsibility is yours. You were given children by God. God has loaned you these children for 18 years. And God expects you, as a godly husband and as a godly wife, to take time in those years of infancy and those years where they become teenagers and young adults, where you're getting ready, not only training them all these years, but when they leave the home, they should be able to mimic you in what you have taught them by example. That's the problem. We have bad examples. The examples have been given by the parents to the children, and the children are mimicking what the parents have taught them or what they have seen. Are we teaching our children? Are we taking the responsibility that as God gives me a baby boy or a baby girl until 18 years of age, that I have the responsibility not only to provide for the child's needs, but also to provide for him spiritual insight and religion in the home? That is God's word. To bring up your child in the ways of the Lord. God has loaned you those children. They're not really yours. The Lord has loaned them to you, the scripture says. And he's given them to you, given to you an opportunity so that you can invest your time into them, so that maybe one day one of them can become a Moody or a Spurgeon or a Billy Graham. Or maybe a godly businessman or a godly senator or a godly president. God has given us his word. You see, the problems today that we're facing is because of the absence of the mother and father not being in the home to instruct and to teach their children. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Here we have now Solomon speaking as he writes these proverbs of wisdom to his sons. He says, "The proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young men, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsel." Look what it says. If young people would listen to their godly grandmother, godly grandfather, godly mother, godly father, young people would not be in trouble the way they are today. That's wisdom. That's knowledge. Why? Because they're going to give you biblical principles that God has instituted in His Word for us to receive and to understand. And then he goes on and he says in verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Notice the godly counsel by the father to his son. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of real knowledge. What do we mean by the word fear here in the Old King James Version? It really doesn't mean that you're afraid of God. It literally is a word that speaks of the reverent and worship fear of God. That God is a holy God, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is holy. And he says that if we don't fear or we don't have reverence for God's instructions that he's given to us in the Word of God, we become fools. We become stupid. That's the word. And then listen to a father speaking to his son. My son, hear. The word hear is to obey. Not only to listen, but when you listen, obey what it says. Listen to the instruction of your father. Forsake not the law of your mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto your head and chains around your neck. Notice the word of God surrounding the child to constantly remind him of what God says. Taking godly counsel from a godly mother and a godly father.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. For resources to help direct your steps in godliness, visit us anytime at somebodylovesyou.com. Now, you'll also want to download our free app for live-streamed biblical teaching, digital studies, a Bible reading plan, and much more. Let's continue now with more of our study, Parents' Duty to Children.
Children need to see consistency in the home. They need to see leadership. They need to see a strong head, a strong father, and a strong mother. They don't need to see two people divided, going opposite ways, disagreeing. That brings chaos into the home. It confuses the child, and then the child uses the mother and the father against one another. Maybe that's your home this morning. Listen to the counsel of God. And then the father and mother give counsel to the son again. My son, if sinners entice you, consent thou not. Here, God tells you exactly, as a godly father, how to deal with your children so they don't get involved with gang activity or any drugs or alcohol or any other thing. Why? Because the scripture says, son, the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 1, that wine is a mocker and they that drink it become stupid. What are you doing? You're giving them the word of God. You're not giving them your philosophy. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They want to know what God has to say. Why? Because the word of God returns no longer void. It takes place in the heart and the mind of the child. The Holy Spirit reminds them what they've heard and brings conviction. And it leads and it guides for the child the knowledge and the wisdom to act as a young man or as a young woman. And here he says, he's given counsel to bad company. If they say to you, hey, come with us. Let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent because without cause. Kind of joining the gang and then going out and doing things you're not supposed to be doing. Even holding up people and killing people. Let us swallow them up alive in the grave, in the hole, as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance once they rob them, and we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Hey, your parents don't love you, but look at the homeboys love you. We love you, man. We'll take care of you. You just come with us. My son, listen, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path. Run away from them. They're only trouble. They're only trouble for you. For their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. They kill themselves. Interesting. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain and takes away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom cries out. Without, she utters her voice in the streets. She cries out in the chief place of the concourse, in the opening of the gates in the city of, he utters her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, how long will you love simplicity and the scorner delight in the scorning and the fool hate knowledge? Notice that. The problem is they hate what God has to say. Turn you at my reproof. Repent. And then I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and you have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regards it, but you have said at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will also then laugh at your calamity and I will mock when your fear comes. God says, you don't want to turn, then you're going to learn the hard way. Pretty heavy. Look how he ends the proverb, verse 33. But whosoever listens or hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from notice from the fear of evil. If you listen to wisdom, hey, you're going to do all right. If you listen to your godly counsel that your mom and your dad give to you, you will be great. But if you don't, you are in for some deep heartaches. Parents, you have a great responsibility to your children. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 10, the responsibility was given to the parent to what? To teach the child. It says this, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit down in your house. How many times have you taken the time in the morning or afternoon or maybe in the evening because you're so busy? And when is the last time that you as a family got together and talked and prayed together and discussed the things about the family and the things of God? That's what God declares. He says, how about when you're walking by the way, when you're lying down, when you're rising up? You shall bind them, the word of God, as a sign on your hand. They shall be frontless between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house, on your gates. And it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give you a large and beautiful cities which you did not build. God wants you to put stickers or frames with beautiful pictures, but underneath that there are scriptures in the bathroom, in the hallway, upstairs, downstairs, in the garage, where your children go, they can see that this is the house of the Lord. God reigns and lives in this house. Children need to be taught. Children need to be trained. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that she or he should go, and when he becomes old, he will not depart from it. God says that in the Proverbs. If you train up a child, he'll never depart from the ways of God. Remember, he has the will. You cannot force religion down his mouth. But you do have a responsibility that as long as he is living in your home and you are teaching him, not only that he can play sports, he can go to school and giving him an education to go to college or a trade school, as long as he's doing something with his life, you're teaching him something. But when they sit around and they're slothful and they sleep in and they don't do anything and they're just leeching off everything, then you are wrong as a parent. Because you're not doing what the Bible says. The Bible says you need to teach your children responsibility. Listen to what the Proverbs says. Turn to Proverbs 30. Beginning with verse 11. There is a generation that curses his father and does not bless his mother. You know, how many of you are suffering in your homes because your sons and your daughters are physically or verbally cursing you? Hey, there it is. There is a generation, this is the generation that has no respect for parents. No respect for the home. And the reason, if you go back and you learn, is because sometimes the children have learned from the parents where the parents do not respect each other. It comes right back to your own face and to my own face. There is a generation that curses his father and his mother. There is a generation, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. They think they're really hot, they're real proud. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords and their jaws teeth like knives and devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among them. They have no compassion for anybody else. They're very selfish people. The horse leash has two daughters and they're crying, give me, I need, I want. And if you don't, then you've had it. How many parents have been drained financially by their children? Heavy stuff. This is the generation that only is seeking for self. They never learn how to work or appreciate. They've had it all. And that's not their problem. We have spoiled them. We are the parents. They are the children. God help us. God help us to come to that place where we not only become providers for their needs, because the Bible says that we need to provide for their needs. Paul said, for the children are never to lay up for the parents, but the parents are to lay up for the children. That's what God says. God wants us to be parents to our children. God wants us to pray for them. God wants you husbands to be the leaders of your home in training your child, having devotions with your children, with your wife, and praying with her and leading your home into godliness. If you're not, then you're in trouble with the Lord, because the Lord commands it.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. Today's lesson, Parents' Duty to Children, is being made available to you in its unedited form for a donation of $5 or more. If you'd like to get a copy, just call us at 800-634-9165. Now, as you consider how you can be more intentional about sharing your faith with your children, we'd like to offer you a new book from Raul and his late wife, Sharon. It's titled, Raising a God-Fearing Family in an Ungodly World. Whether your kids are toddlers or teens, or you're now in the grandparenting season of life, this resource will motivate you to help the next generation enjoy a faithful, thriving relationship with the Lord. Rich with personal anecdotes from Raul and Sharon's own parenting experience, this resource also provides a wealth of biblical instruction to guide you in your steps. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order the Reese's Guide titled Raising a God-Fearing Family in an Ungodly World. We'll send your copy for $12 plus shipping and handling. That's 800-634-9165. Or write to Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we're thankful for your partnership. Every contribution enables us to keep sharing more of God's unchanging Word. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue with more in this family series. We'll get encouragement to infuse our faith with conversations with our kids throughout the day, from after-school commutes to texts with teens. Now here's Raul with the closing comment.
In Proverbs 13:24, he says, he who spares his rod hates his child or his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. You discipline him before he's too old. So important. If you have little ones, In the way that I would do it biblically, in the way I would take the word of God and I would sit with him or her in the scriptures and say, you know, honey, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible says that you're not to be unequally yoked with a non-believer. Why? Because this is what happens. Son, in Proverbs 5, Proverbs 6, Proverbs 7, it talks about the evil woman. They will seduce you and they will take everything from you and you'll end up with nothing. In Proverbs chapter 6, 15 to 21, it talks about the woman that's an adulteress. I mean, there's all kinds of instruction. Instruction for the young and the old. Instruction for the father and mother, for everybody. But the situation is this. Are you willing to submit to the word of God? Are you willing to change your home to become a godly home, to seek and pursue after peace? Are you willing to let your husband be the head of your home and to be the spokesman and not to irritate and not to frustrate if he is a godly man?
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.